Hello and welcome to the QU podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network, the podcast by and for students at Quincy University. I'm your host, Tristan Graham, and here with me today is Kylan Funk. Kylan, say hello.
Hello.
Emma Stieferman.
Hi.
And Katie Flynn.
Hello, everyone.
How are we doing today, guys? We're doing all right?
Yeah.
Going good? Doing okay.
Yes.
Going the good. Big topic of today is AI. Got a lot to talk about. The first question of the day. For y'all as students, how do we use AI in class? Katie?
I feel like for me personally, I use AI to fact check a lot of things that I do, especially for classes I don't understand. So I'm in a meteorology class and it's all online. And I'm going to be honest, I do not know much about what's going on. I've tried to read it, tried to understand, still confused. I did bad in the beginning. I was doing bad in a couple of assignments. And so honestly, every time before I turn anything in, I'm like, let me check it with AI. And I feel like it has helped me because I do think it does a good job of explaining how you get that answer, how you get the right answer, honestly, more than the things that I'm reading in class, which is kind of hard to believe. But I will say I don't rely on it to give me all the answers because there has been times where I've used it and then done bad on an assignment. So I don't just use it for all of them, but I do use it to fact check all my information.
For sure. For sure. What about you, Emma?
When it comes to in classes, I use it kind of to give me new ideas. Sometimes I struggle to like think about what I want to write or how I want to start something. So I'll kind of ask it to give me an idea of how to do that and maybe to give me an outline of how something would look so I can base what I do off of that. Yeah, I also kind of use it for the fact checking, like Katie said. That's one like really helpful part about it. Obviously, it's not always right. So maybe double fact check it.
Double fact check always. Kylan, what about you?
Honestly, I'll be really honest. I don't use it at all, really, because I feel like bad for using it sometimes, which I don't know why I feel bad. But I used it for one class I took a couple semesters ago. It was like social media class. And it helped me make captions because I'm just like, me making captions for this class isn't going to make like the system that we used kind of give me, like, it wouldn't give me good points. So I honestly used AI for that, but that was encouraged. So I definitely used it for that, but that's about it.
For sure. And you brought up that you felt sometimes like, I don't know, it feels a little guilty to use it. Do you feel like that's kind of been like a societal or a classroom norm? Because some people ultimately think like, oh my gosh, Kylan's cheating. Like, oh my gosh, she can't be using AI. When we just heard two other students talk about how they use it for tools to help them.
Honestly, yeah, I just feel like a lot of professors don't want you to use AI. They're kind of like, I would prefer you not to use AI. I'd rather you do it yourself. But we all know that 90% of students are using AI in their assignments. I can see it literally because I'm someone who likes to sit in the back. I can see everyone's laptops,
ChatGPT
pulled up. So I can see it, but
y'all ain't slick. We see it.
I know. I see it.
No, that's interesting. But yeah, for sure. I think that's kind of like a little classroom norm, but I have seen a lot of teachers and professors be more open to it. I think at first you weren't able to control it. Nobody knew really what it was. And there was a little fear behind that and that people are just going to rely on it, which I think some people do. But I think that really discounts and discredits the people that use it to better their work and really try and use AI for the betterment of their learning. Because at the end of the day, we've seen what it's been able to do. We hear about being able to write things in 10 minutes that would take somebody 3 hours. So I just think that's amazing. That's great. But at the end of the day, we want to use it in an ethical sense and not just rely on it for sure.
Absolutely.
So next question, this is kind of similar, but how are all your professors on board with AI? Kylan, you want to go again?
Sure. I haven't spent much time at QU, honestly. But I will say out of all of the professors I've had, I've only had one encourage us to use AI. So I feel like, I don't know, I don't think professors are super into the idea, but obviously they can't stop us from using it as of right now. I feel like there's obviously going to be things changing in the future, but as of right now, not very many people are on board with it.
For sure. What about you, Katie?
So from my experience, I feel like I have one teacher who in the syllabus in all caps, it says, do not use AI. I will be able to tell if you use AI. You will get a zero on an assignment if you use AI. So it's very discouraged from that teacher. But then I have a couple of other teachers who encourage me to use it in a way to help me, not necessarily to use it for my assignments, but to just kind of like I said before, just give me an outline or give me the opportunity to check my answers just to get an idea for things. So I do feel like it is split for a lot of professors at QU. Some of them like AI and think that it can be a good tool to use. And then a lot of them are very, very against it.
That's interesting because I do know some teachers and professors that use AI to grade. Yes. Like you can use it to help you, but we're going to use it to help us. What about you, Emma? Any thoughts?
I'm on the same page as Kylan. I've really only had one that is pretty supportive of AI. Of course, if we use it the correct way, I would say a lot of professors here are pretty against it, especially in their syllabus. You know, it says straight up, don't use it. But and they're like, OK, I can tell that you use AI. OK, but can you really? Because I mean, me personally, I've definitely gotten away with some things. I mean, maybe I just use it in the right ways, but I don't know. I think I definitely you can get around what they're saying just because I feel like they don't understand some of the ways that you can use it. And I think that's part of the problem is they're like so caught up in the idea of them teaching us instead of like we could teach them some things about AI and then they could just better their whole like lesson plan.
For sure. I think there's multiple things to learn on both sides, both with students and professors. And that's what I think is interesting. We're all kind of getting thrown into a pool with no floaties on and just like swim. Okay, everyone's kind of got to figure it out for themselves. And so I think there's ultimately that backlash at first. But I've definitely seen a lot of professors. I even had an English professor who was like, yeah, guys, if you need to use Grammarly or something like that, it's probably going to work better than me, you know, telling you what to do. It knows more than I do in some instances. So really use that to your advantage. And so, but again, I think that comes with the territory and who your professor is, who your teacher is, and how they kind of reacted to AI and how they're adapting to it themselves. So the next question we got is, how should higher education adjust to the introduction of AI? Kind of rolling back into that. Katie?
I feel like we just need to realize that this is kind of our life now. I mean, I don't feel like AI is going to go away. I think it's only going to continue to grow. And so with that, I feel like we need to grow with it and learn as much as we can about it. As teachers, professors, students, we all need to learn just how it can benefit us, but also the risks that come with it, because AI does have a lot of misinformation right now, just because it is so new. And so as it develops, I do believe it can be a useful tool, but we also need to understand it for it to be a tool.
For sure, for sure. Kylan?
Honestly, I kind of agree with Katie. Like, we just have to accept it and move forward. I don't think stopping it or preventing people from using it is the right way to go about it. I think maybe just accepting it for what it is, accepting that it's going to potentially help us in ways that we maybe don't realize at the moment. I don't know. I just feel like obviously higher education, it is like a privilege in some way, but you should be able to use the tools that are right in front of you. So I feel like, yeah, acceptance is probably the only answer right now.
Yeah, for sure. Katie? Or excuse me, Emma?
Yeah, I totally agree with Katie and Kylan. I think that these are tools that are available for us to use right now, and I don't think they're going to go away. So they're going to be available whenever we get into the job field and we're working every day. So why not just learn how to use them now?
That's a great point you make, because that's one of the things that I was thinking of. I was like, well, I know my mom uses AI for work sometimes, and her coworkers use it to, like, there's so many different spreadsheets and all these different things that it can make in seconds that would take somebody hours, like we were talking about earlier. So almost to kind of just be like, oh, we don't need to use AI and all these different things. It's like, well, you look around the real world, like professors, for example, even use it all the time in their day-to-day lives or in their work lives. So if we're supposed to be prepared for the next stage of life, which is working a job, starting our careers, different things like that, it would honestly be better if we got more hands-on with AI. And I think that's something that we'll see in the future. We've had professors talk about that, as our media professors talked about, having AI classes possibly here in the future. How can, I mean, I know some people that are in the tech business making some good money because they just know AI. Like, you know, you got some people that are really good with computers and cell phones and stuff like that, but now they're learning what AI is. It's the next thing. So it's almost like when I hear old people, such as my lovely grandparents, talk about, oh, back in my day when the internet started, I had no idea. Now everybody's got games on their phone and we only had three channels on the table or on the TV. But yeah, like that's, I think it's just a new thing. And like we talked about adapting to that, I think that's really the next step. And how can we kind of be ahead of the curve in college in a sense and use that later in life for sure. Okay, last question here on AI. Do you think the college experience is needed at the age of AI? Kylan?
I absolutely think that the college experience is needed. AI cannot give you the social experience or even just the education that is offered at any college. AI can only feed you so much, and it's learning basically from us. So, I mean, I feel like living those experiences firsthand is very much needed. And like I said earlier, it's a privilege. I think we. If you have the opportunity, you should take it. AI shouldn't cover those experiences for you.
100%. Katie, what are your thoughts?
Well, as an athlete, I feel like a lot of college for me is participating in sports. And obviously, AI cannot do that for me. And with that, by playing sports, I get to meet new people. I get to travel to new places. And those type of experiences are going to develop me as a person socially. And I feel like maybe I could learn things through AI for the academic side of school, but I don't think it would be similar to like an in-class experience where you get to learn things from people. And I also think there's a level of respect to it also, where learning new things from teachers, you get to hear their experience that they've had in their life, which then you can use in your own life as well. And that's something that AI just can't give you.
For sure. I think that's the next big thing is like AI obviously is made by humans, but it's hard to have that human interaction when you're like, I found out someone had a girlfriend like a year ago on AI through ChatGPT. And I was like, huh? Like I saw it. I was listening to a podcast. Guys, like, yeah, some dude had a girlfriend on ChatGPT, but it had to reset because he had too many words or something. Really weird. Like, hey, do what you want. But at the end of the day, like you said, you can't just have that same interaction because it's not a real human. So, Emma, what are your thoughts?
I totally agree. I don't think that AI is ever going to give anybody the connections that you can make while you're in college. I personally like connected with several of my professors, and obviously I'm an athlete too, so I have great relationships with my teammates, and my peers just all around me, and I just don't think that AI will ever give anyone those social aspects that are needed.
For sure. I think when people talk about the college experience, it's not as much the classroom, right? It's not, oh, we're talking about tests or professors. It's more who you meet, right? Like these are people that are going to be in your wedding one day, people that you're going to get to grow old with and complain about politics and the weather and stuff with. Like these are the people you're going to meet and that you're going to hang out with for the rest of your life. And so I think that's one thing that AI can never give anybody, right? That's only something you can get through experience and definitely through college when you have thousands of people in one area and everyone gets to meet each other. Okay. Well, it is April 2nd, and April 2nd is National Fact Checking Day, which is interesting because April Fool's was yesterday. So, in the spirit of National Fact Checking Day, yesterday we saw an interesting post. Katie, you want to explain the post that we saw yesterday about Quincy University?
Yes. So I did not know yesterday was April Fool's Day because I never know what day it is ever. So I see a post on Quincy's Instagram page, and it's basically saying how we have a new mascot, and it's a squirrel. Do you remember, Emma? Do you remember the name of it?
Oh gosh, I don't think I do.
But it was a squirrel, and basically it was saying how Quincy was so excited to announce that we were going to have a new mascot. And it looked so real. They had like this whole paper, like this official decree that we were going to have a new mascot, and then it was going to be a squirrel. And I kind of was like, what the heck? Like, I'm confused. My boyfriend sent it to me, and he was like, this is just weird. Like, I don't know. Why would we change our mascot? I was like, I don't know. And we were like just talking about it for probably 10 minutes. And I did not even realize until the next day that it was not real. And it was April Fool's.
And it's a squirrel out of all things. Yes. You're like, a hawk? Cool. But a squirrel?
See, I just thought that it was like an addition to the hawk. So we'd have like two mascots. And I personally, I love the squirrels here on campus. So I was excited. I'm in the same boat as Katie. I was fooled just a little bit.
The squirrels sometimes scare me. They get a little too close sometimes. I'm like, dang, you got, you know, you're coming a little too close. I'll mess you up. Watch out. Kylan, what are your thoughts on this?
I saw it yesterday and I'm honestly, I kind of just blew past it, but I was like, that's weird. Just kind of like moved on. But then I was like, oh yeah, today is April Fool's Day. I kind of avoided social media yesterday because every time I saw something, I was like, oh, like this fun, cool product is out. Oh, it's not real, but it should be real because actually I would buy that. But I don't know. We also just found out that the name was Chestnut, if you guys
Chestnut?
Care.
Oh, that's actually
that's
good.
Right.
That's actually
right.
A good name. That's fine.
Yeah.
No, I looked through Twitter. I woke up and I saw Twitter and I was like, what? Why are these people coming to the Chiefs? And I was getting all excited. About to text my dad and I'm like, oh, it's April 1st. Let me stop. Let me just chill out. Whatever. It'll be good either way. It doesn't matter. But yeah, anybody else have any crazy April Fool's stories? I know that one happened on campus, but
I feel like I'm just gullible, so I just believe whatever people tell me.
Yeah,
so
sometimes.
I don't even know. Maybe people got me on April Fool's and I still think it's true. That would probably happen to me. So I guess I'll find out later today if anybody was messing with
me. I'm with you, Katie. I trust people too much. People tell me something. I'm like, oh, really? That's awesome. Like, that's great. And with that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And with that, we actually have some tips for y'all listening to how to figure out what is AI and what's not, because you look around, you see the internet and you're like, is that real or is that not real? What is going on? And maybe teachers, if you want to catch your students and you're like, bet, you know, someone's cheating in my class. Here we go. So one of the things on our handy dandy sheet here is looking for visual clues. I mean, that's a big thing. I think when you look at videos, a lot of times you can just tell in some instances, but at the end of the day, AI is getting better every single day. And like before, you couldn't even tell, or you could tell really easily with fingers and stuff like that. But now sometimes I have to like double look. But there are a lot of visual clues, especially in videos. Emma, did you have one?
Yes. So another tip would be to seek out a source and kind of double check whether or not your AI is being truthful and if it has an actual source of where it came from. So sometimes AI will spit out some quote-unquote facts at you, but are they real or are they fake? Are they truthful or are they false? So it's important to go looking elsewhere online to try and find a source for their facts.
For sure, because, again, nothing's perfect. Katie, did you have one?
Yes, listen to the experts. So you can verify your sources through AI. It gives you a source of where it found its information. And so then you can go and look at that website and see if it's true. And you can also just look it up on Google and find different sources to see if that's also true. So definitely just like verifying it with multiple sources is what I would recommend to anybody who's using ChatGPT or any sort of AI device.
Perfect. Kylan, did you have a last one?
Yeah, so the last thing we could probably do is make use of technology. I know a lot of social media platforms will flag it as this was AI generated, which anymore, it's kind of hard for that flag to come up, but make sure you just check it out. Even if you check out the comments, it will basically say this was AI, like, guys, pay attention. But yeah, use those tools.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for listening to the QU podcast at Quincy University. We are a part of the QU Media Network, and you can find us at qumedia.net and on social media. I'm your host, Tristan Graham, joined by Kylan Funk, Katie Flynn, and Emma Stieferman. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.